On the morrow, our liberty take us to be like constantly engage his mind in remembering the personality of Godhead, the goal of yoga. No other means should be employed for this purpose. Purport. The word va is significant in this verse. You can remember what the word va meant. Or. Good. Or. The word va is significant in this verse, the word or. Could you imagine how? Well, why is the word or significant? For it indicates, is what, that one engaged in the worship and adoration of the personality of Godhead need not trouble himself with the disciplinary, regulatory, and purificatory procedures of yoga, nor with the grueling intricacies of Vedic studies and logic. Yogyam, or the most appropriate object of meditation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed throughout Vedic literature. One who directly takes to the worship of the Lord should not employ other methods, for full dependence on the Lord is in itself the supreme process of perfection.
Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mahiyam Dadati Svatantikam Mukam Karoti Vacharam Khandum Langhayate Yakripa Namam Bande Sri Gurum Dinatayam.
So, I spent most of last night trying to work out what this meant. Because it does appear to be a contradiction. In the verse it says, through the various disciplinary regulations of the and purificating procedures of the yoga system, through logic and spiritual education, or through worship and adoration of me, one should constantly engage his mind in remembering the personality of Godhead, the goal of yoga. No other means should be employed for this purpose. So that indicates that you can do all of them. No other means should be employed for this purpose. Or does it only mean the constant engagement in remembering the personality of Godhead, the goal of yoga? So, anyway, it's a little unclear. Of course, in the purport, it's clarified. The word va is significant in this verse, for it indicates that one engaged in the worship and adoration of the personality of Godhead need not trouble himself with the others. For the other activities. So, what does this mean? Here's my analysis based on scriptural evidence. Not my speculation, but based on what I've heard, read and heard. One can come to the point of meditating upon Krishna by following the various processes, because here we have the process of yoga, we have the process of jnana, described here, and we also then have the process of bhakti, right? The yoga pataya is the yoga path. Anvikshikya chavidyaya is the path of learning, which is the path of jnana, right? We started to prove there was a lady in Melbourne called Anvikshiki. Where she got her name from, this word Anvikshikya, which means what does it say here? Logical analysis. And then we have Mama Chopasana Bhiva Archana Worship Upasana, which is translated as adoration. Very similar meanings, right? You know, worship and adoration, which is the path of bhakti. This is the path of devotional service. So by each one of these processes, one can gradually, because, you know, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, who knows the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? I'm going to put you on the spot, isn't it? Because if you say I don't know it, I'm going to say what's wrong with you. And then if I ask you questions that you don't know the answers to, then that means you don't know it. Who knows this? Who's familiar? Let's say that. Who's familiar with it?
Yogina Mukti Sarvesham. Last verse of Muslim.
Yes, but I wasn't going to get to that straight away. That's at the end of the chapter. Who is Krishna talking about in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? A yogi. Yes, he talks about the yogis. And at the end of the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the yoga process. And the sixth chapter very much concentrates on, you know, the yogi going to a sacred place, a quiet place, secluded place, and sitting down and meditating and controlling the mind. Right? Controlling the mind goes this way, the mind goes that way, you know, Arjuna says, more powerful than the wind, Ramhi Mana Krishna, the mind is flickering, unsteady, difficult to control, And Krishna says, yes, it is, but it can be by constant practice. And that's this, you know, yoga papaya, yamani bhi, yamani yama asana, all of those things of the yoga practice. Krishna actually encourages Arjuna. He said, you know, above all, always be a yogi. Interestingly enough, you know, he's encouraging Arjuna, always be a yogi. A yogi is better than a this and a that and the other thing. But a tapasvi, even a jnani. I can't remember, there's three or four types of transcendentalist, if you like, or practitioner that Krishna talks about at the end of the six. Of course, he explains that, because Arjuna says, what happens if I perform this yoga practice? I concentrate all of my effort into performing yoga practice, but then I fail. Because it's difficult to be a yogi. And Krishna says, Arjuna's concern is I'll be a failure materially because I'll have given up everything to pursue my yoga practice, and I won't achieve success as a transcendental scholar. And Krishna explains that no, there's no loss. And of course, this is a theme that presents itself in Bhagavad Gita in a number of places, second chapter. Nihavi Kramanaso Sti Pratya Vayona Vinjate. You know, the little progress in the spiritual bank account is never lost. There's a benefit of spiritual practice. The benefit of spiritual practice is that you put in 1 cent, you put in another cent, you keep on putting deposits into the spiritual bank account, then it just keeps on accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Kama told me the story the other day how Prabhupada mentioned in one class that, you know, you keep on putting a cent in every day and eventually you get to $100 and you own the business. Right? So the more we put into our devotional service, the more we put into our spiritual practice, the greater the deposits we have in our spiritual bank account, the greater the absorption that we have in those activities. Right, this is the power of devotional service. So it's interesting, Prabhupada says, you know, once you get to $100, then you own the bank. You know, what do people meditate on? That which is dearest to them. Right? So they're thinking about, what's in my bank account? How much money is in my bank account? Because of the effort that they put in to, you know, get the money in there. So simply also for a devotee who puts effort into devotional service, that effort that he puts into the devotional service increases his attraction ultimately for Krishna, his meditation on Krishna. So even though Krishna is talking about the yogi, and initially the yogi is one who's going to the forest and performing the Ashtanga Yoga system. At the end of that chapter he says, Yogi nama pisabe sam madgaten antarakmana saravam bhajate yomam sama yuktatamo mataha. The best yogi is one who's always thinking of me. Which is more or less what's being said here, because the bhakti yogis, if you like, those who are engaged in the archa and the upasana practices of devotional service, they're also yogis, right? They also happen to be the greatest jnanis also, right? Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vidas cha savairaham eva vidyo vidantakrit veda vid eva jaham. What is it? Matasmi te jnanam apovanam pakcha. What's the first line? What's the first word? Sabasya chaham vinisani visto matasmiti kyanam apavanam cha. Vedascha sabairaham eva vidyo. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know me. Right? This is the jnana. Again, studying the Vedas, but ultimately what is the purpose of studying the Vedas? Is to know aham. Aham vedyo. To know me, Krishna says. That's the purpose of... So the devotees may not be, you know, we may not be big yoga practitioners in the sense of, you know, asana, pranayama, and all of that. Right? But the ultimate purpose of the yoga practice is to come to the point of samadhi, which means to come to the point of always meditating on Krishna. Right? This is the purpose of the yoga system, is always to come to a point of samadhi, or come to a point of meditation. So, that's why it says here, you know, one need not follow any of the other practices if one follows the archa and the upasana process, then one automatically comes to the goal. One automatically comes to the conclusion of the jnani study. One automatically comes to the point of the yogis, austerities, and meditation. Wow. And it's very interesting. Who are considered to be the highest devotees? The gopis. The cowherd damsels of Raj. Now, what kind of yogis were they? Not yogis. They were just simple village girls. What kind of jnanis were they? They didn't study the Vedas. In fact, their mode of worship was simply that they loved Krishna. No? They just... And as Prabhupada mentions, Rupa Goswami mentions, their love appeared just simple lust, actually. The attraction of the devotees to Krishna was like the attraction of a young girl for a young boy. So how sophisticated is that? Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, their mode of worship, their mode of service, their mode of, their, you know, their yoga practice, if you like, their learning, if you like, is considered to be the highest mode of worshipping Krishna. Because at every moment of the day, their minds were constantly absorbed in Krishna. You know, when Krishna would go into the forest, they would be in anxiety because he didn't have any shoes on. And they were thinking, Krishna will hurt his feet. He'll stub his toe. He'll get pricked by the thorns. You know, they were in anxiety about... Of course, they were going to meet Krishna. One of the reasons why Krishna was going into the forest... One of the reasons why Krishna was going into the forest was so he could play with the gopis. Ostensibly, he was going into the forest to herd the cows, to look after the cows. But actually, Balaram and Krishna's main purpose for going into the forest was to go and play with their girlfriends. So this, on the surface, this activity appears to be just like the mundane attraction between boys and girls. But of course, because within Krishna's heart and within the heart of the gopis, there's no material motivation, there's no material attraction. It is purely, their affairs purely are under the influence of the yoga maya. under the influence of the Antaranga Shakti. So therefore it's stated in the Bhagavatam, it's stated in the Acharyas and Goswamis explained that that mode of worship of the gopis, where they are spontaneously attracted to Krishna, they're always thinking of him. That's the symbol of devotion, devotional service. And Prabhupada explains that actually if one follows in the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if one follows this process of devotional service, the 9 items, Ravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and the other 6 items, then gradually one will come to this point of attraction for Krishna. You know, if one follows the instructions of the spiritual master and follows the process of devotional service, Ajna Kriya, in the beginning we have some faith. That faith brings us, attracts us, just like Krishna says in the end of the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, a yogi may not be successful in this lifetime, and he may leave his body not having been fully successful, but in the next lifetime he'll be naturally attracted to the process, or he'll be naturally attracted to the yoga principles, to the process of devotional service. It will absorb his consciousness so that he'll be attracted to it, just like we find as devotees. You know, when we meet the devotees, then we're naturally attracted to devotional service. It's too attractive. Even the material energy is still attractive, but Krishna is more attractive. And we can't deny Krishna. Huh? Or prasadam, or whatever it is. The association of the devotees. So then in the association of the devotees we follow the bhajana kriya, which means the practices, and very similar to the yoga system, yama niyama, we have our rules and regulations. What is it? Anukulyasya sankalpa patikulyasya marjanam. We accept that which is favorable, we reject that which is unfavorable, which is, you know, the same as in the yoga system. The yama, rejecting things, accepting things. So, we follow the practice of devotional service, bhajana kriya, and the association of the devotees, but then we come to this anatta nivritti, clearing out or removing the obstacles, the unwanted attractions to things superfluous, to the real essence or core of existence, which is our spiritual pursuits. So when one has reached this stage of purification, nishtha and ruchi, some taste for devotional service, then this attraction for Krishna and wanting to serve Krishna, it becomes manifest within the heart automatically. When one is free from material contamination and material motivation, material pursuits, then one aspires to, one is absorbed in service to Krishna. At that point, Prabhupada explains, one then is attracted to a mode of service that is exemplified by either the residents of Vrindavan or the residents of Dwarka. One then meditates spontaneously on following the devotional service of one of those Nitya Siddha or Raga Atmika Bhaktas. And that desire to follow those devotees is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. Because the Prabhupada does warn that one shouldn't imitate. It's not that, you know, this absorption of the gopis is a spontaneous and natural affection, and it's not something that can be imposed. Right? And as is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Satya Kabul Noi, it's in the heart, so it just has to be, you know, brought out. But it's not something that can be, you know, Prabhupada talks about the Siddha Pranali process, whereby, you know, there are those who, you know, at initiation they're told what they're, you know, you're a peacock, or you're a, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it in Vrindavan, you know, you see these shaki mickeys, they dress like shakis. You see these men, they got lipstick on and they got saris on, and I said they think that by thinking that they're a gopi that they'll become a gopi. Huh? But just by thinking about or being told, you know, you're a peacock and dressing like a peacock, or even seeing men with peacock feathers in their hair and so this is there are what's called upper sampradaya, where they concoct the process. And probably Rupa Goswami explains how this process works, and he gives the example of the sages in Dandakaranya. Because Prabhupada says, you know, this meditation is not just for women. Because one might think, oh, you know, meditating on Krishna in this conjugal rasa or relationship is just for women. But Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami says, no. And he gives the example of the, you know, the rasa or that conjugal mood is so attractive that the sages of meditating in the forest of Dandakaranya, when they saw Lord Ramchandra, they were attracted. And it's described how they thought of the gopis and how fortunate the gopis were to embrace Krishna. As mentioned, their desire was fulfilled, so that in the next lifetime, by their meditating on the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, that in their next life they took birth as gopis in Vrindavan and were able to have their desire fulfilled. So this, you know, this meditation is a complete absorption in devotional service. It's something that comes spontaneously, just like it's mentioned, you know, that the devotees, out of fear and out of envy and out of lust, were able to attain perfection. You know, Kamsa is cited as an example of not exactly a devotee, but at least he was always thinking of Krishna. You know, Krishna says that one should think of him, Brahmana, right? So at least Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna. So that, in that sense, he had achieved perfection. And it was spontaneous, right? It was not something that was brought about by following the rules and regulations of any yoga system. But he was just always fearful of Krishna when he heard from, you know, Yogamaya that Krishna would kill him. Actually, no, he didn't. He heard it from the voice that came out of the sky, right? At the time of Vasudeva and Devaki's wedding. Kamsa was driving them in a wedding chariot, and then a voice came out of the sky and said, Kamsa, you fool, don't you realize that the eighth child of Devaki will kill you? Right. So then he whipped out his sword and was prepared to chop her head off straight away. So that was the beginning of Kamsa's anxiety. But when, you know, when Krishna was actually born, and Yogamaya said, Krishna is elsewhere, so then he was always thinking, you know, Krishna is going to kill me. So spontaneous, natural meditation, although not considered devotional service because not favorable to Krishna. But still, he attained perfection. He was liberated as a result of that. Shishupala also was described as always meditating on Krishna out of a sense of envy. And he was also attained liberation. He got Sayuja Mukti, right? When Krishna chopped off Shishupala's head and describes in the Krishna book how his soul, the jiva, merged into Krishna's body. You know, because he wanted to be Krishna. Right? He wanted to be Krishna, so he got the liberation of merging with Krishna, Sayuja Mukti. Because he was so envious of Krishna, that was his meditation. He wanted to be Krishna, so that way he got them. So he was liberated. And of course the other example is the gopis, out of love or lust, apparently. So it's an absorption, it's not an imposition. It's something that happened. You know, when it says here that one should we don't need any of these other practices, but one has to absorb the mind in yoga, the goal of yoga, that's Krishna. That absorption has to be following in the footsteps of the Raghat Mika. Those who have spontaneous love and affection for Krishna, they're attracted to Krishna. And so therefore it said one needs to get the mercy of the devotees. One needs to get the shelter of the residents of Vrindavan. But before one can be elevated at that stage, one has to follow the basic sadhana practices, following the instructions of the spiritual master. One has to have gone through this anatta nivritti. One cannot be spontaneously attracted to Krishna and still be spontaneously attracted to material. It's like mixing oil and water, they don't go together. So therefore, you know, to get to this stage of devotional service, very advanced, that can be achieved by the, you know, the sadhana practices, following the rules and regulations, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Sato retained. Was it utsahan nischaya jaya tat tat kama bhavatana jnana sangha jaya sato retained. 6 positive items recommended by Rupa Goswami. Be enthusiastic, being determined, being patient, following tat kama pravartana means basically following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Tat kama. Jana sangha, bad association. The first item, you know, the first item of devotional service pretty much is asat sangatya. Give up bad association. Satovrite, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Then, you know, by the performance of devotional service, you know, we're putting our, you know, every day we're putting our sense worth in the bank. We're investing. And eventually, you know, after a 100 cents, you know, you get a dollar. Then you've got a dollar and 1 cent, a dollar and 2 cents, a dollar and 3 cents. Just by putting in every day, eventually we'll get to $100. And then the Prabhupada says, when you get $100 in the bank, then you own the business.
Meaning, by that constant endeavor and constant practice, what Lord Ramana says, what is it? Theistic conduct. What is it? I can't remember at the end of the Brahma Samhita, but he says basically by the fire of ordeal, theistic, you know, we follow the rules and regulations, we remain dedicated to the process, and there will be tests as a result. But as a result of that testing, and as a result of that purification, that investment of time and effort, as a result of that meditation, then gradually we will come to the point of purification, wherein that absorption in devotional service and that attraction to Krishna that's demonstrated by the residents of Vrindavan begins to also then attract the mind of the devotee. In the previous verse it mentions how by following the spiritual master's instructions, by meditating on the temporality of material existence, one will realize its futility. So one will become detached from material, but also at the same time become attached to the spiritual. And that way then one can, by following the process of devotional service, become absorbed in Krishna. So it's not that, oh yeah, at the time of death I'll think of Krishna. You know, oh, now I've got to think of Krishna. It's not like that at all. It's, he's already thinking of Krishna when he's asleep, when he's sleeping. You know, he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita when he's, whatever he's doing, standing, walking, eating, sleeping, evacuating, whatever he's doing, he's always thinking of Krishna. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
Another room, the best way to remember Krishna is with chanting.
Well, that's why Prabhupada says that each one of us will have our inclination. Each one of us will have our inclination, and so therefore the nine items of devotional service are all effective. Chanting happens to be one of them. But certainly in this day and age, the acharyas do put a lot of emphasis on, yes.
So one would assume the Vrindavasis, why don't they chant?
They do chant. If you read the description of the Bhagavad Gita, you hear that they're chanting always Krishna's Satatam Kirtayantam Man. The gopis are singing about Krishna's pastimes while they're churning the butter. When they come home, the cowherd boys are chanting to the residents of Vrindavan, oh, here's what Krishna did today. He killed this demon, he killed that demon. Before lunch, he killed five demons. After lunch, he took rest, then he killed another few demons. And Prabhupada mentions that before lunch, Krishna usually kills about five or six demons. That's just the morning sport. We only, in the Bhagavad Gita, we just get a few, we just get a little synopsis. So, you know, all the residents of Vrindavan are always hearing and chanting about Krishna and thinking about Krishna all day. The cowherd boys, you know, when Krishna goes to bed, then the cowherd boys are always coming to knock on the door to, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, they're knocking on Nanda Maharaj's, is it time to go out now? We want to go out. Mother used to say, look, go home and go to bed, you know. It's not time for Krishna to get up yet. So they go away and then they come back at 2 o'clock in the morning. Is it time to go? We want to go out in the forest. So they're, you know, They're always thinking about Krishna, they're always discover Krishna's place and getting to go out in the forest even though it's still 3 o'clock in the morning. But they want to go out and play.
I asked this question to one Vrindavasi. He had been to my neighbor in Vrindavan. And his son studied in the Gurukul.
Yeah.
Very intelligent boy. So I asked him, what do you think? Should you be chanting Vrindavasi? He said, yes, he thinks Vrindavasi should also chant.
Yes, everybody should chant. Because, you know, Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam Kalo, Nasjeva, 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 Katira Nyatara. Lord Chaitanya has come to establish the Yuga Dharma. So the Prabhupada, I'm just reading in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada was saying that even if we realize our original spiritual form, we still should practice devotional service like a neophyte. Right? It's not that one becomes very advanced and one doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations anymore. So Lord Chaitanya has appeared with a purpose. A particular purpose is to teach us the process by which we can realize our original spiritual identity. But that process is very much through the practice of sadhana bhakti as we understand it, which is, you know, worshipping the deity, following the Bhagavad Vidhi, the Bhagavad Marg, if you like. Right? So this, the Prabhupada gives the example, there's two aspects of devotional service that we follow. We follow the, and he mentions it's like the railway line has two tracks. That keeps us on the, keeps us heading in the right direction. So for us, it's the Panchavriki Marga, which is worship of the deities. Interesting. See, and that's why Prabhupada established temples and why he established deity worship. Really important point. And then we have the Bhagavad Vidhi, or the Bhagavad Marga, which means, you know, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, the more or less the Shravanam Kirtanam aspect of devotional service. Right? And then the other aspects of devotional service manifest in the deity worship. So Prabhupada put these things together. Or, Prabhupada didn't do it. Rupa Goswami, you know, the Acharyas put this process together. So that's what we practice. We get up early in the morning, we take bath, you know, that's part of the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Clean your teeth. In the Ajna Padati, which is a distillation of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by Sanatana Goswami, which gives us the rules and regulations for the practice of devotional service, specifically the deity worship. What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? The first thing in the book, practically speaking, what does it teach us? Anybody know?
Obeisances to the deities.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Remember Krishna. Right? But then what do you do? Go and clean your teeth. Go to the toilet. Tells you how to do these things. You know, basically your ablutions. First thing. All part of the Panchavriki Marg, or the rules of the Vidhi. All related to worshipping the deity. So we do those things, and then we have the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is, you know, chant 16 rounds, study the Bhagavad Gita, study the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtan. And they go together. You know, the Kirtan is performed for the pleasure of the deities. So we get up in the morning, we go for Mangaladi, and we chant the prayers. So even though we may become super advanced, we realize our Swarupa city, right? Our, what is it? Siddha Swarup, or our Siddha Deha, we realize our original spiritual identity, we still get up in the morning and chant our rounds and do those things. And chant Hare Krishna. Okay, we should finish here. Gantarachana Bhagavatam ki jaya, Sura Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jaya.